Canto 4, Chapter 2. Daksha curses Lord Shiva. Vidura said, "Why exhibited Daksha enmity towards Lord Shiva, the best among all gentle souls, while he neglected his daughter Sati, whom he cared so much about? How could he hate him who is the spiritual master of the entire world, and who, being satisfied with a peaceful personality and free from enmity, is the greatest demigod of the universe? Sati gave up the life that is so difficult to give up. So please tell me the reason why, O Brahmin, the father-in-law and son-in-law quarreled." Maitreya said, "Once in the past, at a sacrifice held by the ruler of creation, the Prajapati, all the immortal souls, the great sages, along with the philosophers, the demigods and the gods of the sacrificial fire, together with all their followers, had assembled. When he, Daksha, arrived at that great assembly, the sages could see him as someone who, free from the darkness of ignorance, shone like the sun. The members of the assembly, along with those taking care of the fire, impressed by his luster, all stood up from their seats, with the exception of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Daksha, the great lord, who was properly welcomed by the leaders of the assembly, made his obeisances towards the unborn one, Brahma, the master of the world, and sat down upon his order. Before he took his seat, though, he felt insulted by Lord Shiva, who showed no sign of respect. He lost his temper, and with an angry look in his eyes, said the following: 'Listen to me, O wise among the Brahmins, O godly souls and fire gods, as I speak to you about the manners of the gentle-minded, and this I do not out of ignorance or jealousy. He, Shiva, lacking in manners, has shamelessly spoiled the fame of the rulers of the universe and polluted the path of proper conduct. Acting like an honest man, he, as a son of mine, has accepted to be of a lower position by taking the hand of my daughter in the presence of fire and Brahmins. Accepting the hand of her who has eyes like that of a deer cup, and himself having the eyes of a monkey, he has not, as it should, honored me with a word of welcome and by standing up from his seat. Contrary to what I want, I gave my daughter to someone with no respect for the rules and regulations, to someone who, impure and proud, has broken with the code of conduct, as if I gave the message of the Vedas to a Shudra. In the company of ghosts and demons, he wanders around at the burial places where corpses are burned, and laughs and cries there like a madman, with scattered hair, smearing himself with the ashes of the funeral pyre. He has a garland of skulls and is ornamented with dead men's bones. He is only in name, Shiva, or auspicious. He is in fact inauspicious, crazy, and dear to the crazy. He is their leader and lord, engrossed in the mode of ignorance. To him, the lord of the ghosts, void of all cleanliness, with a heart full of awkward matters, I, alas, upon the request of the supreme teacher Brahma, have given away Sati." Maitreya said, "Thus having abused Shiva, who remained without hostility, Daksha next rinsed his hands and mouth with water and began to curse him angrily. The portion of the sacrifice to God that the demigods along with Indra, Upendra and others are entitled to is there not for the lowest of the demigods. Even though the members of the assembly urged him not to, Daksha, having cursed Shiva, left the place and went home, O Vidura, for he had gotten very angry. Understanding that Lord Shiva had been cursed, one of his principal associates, Nandishwara, turned red. Blind with anger, he harshly condemned Daksha and the Brahmins who had allowed the cursing to take place. 'May he, who in the physical presence of him, the non-envious Lord Shiva, bears envy, and thus is stupefied by a dual vision, lose all his grip on reality. He who is attracted to a householder's life of pretentious religiosity and innate desire for material happiness performs fruitive activities, will see his intelligence concerning the Vedic word fail. He who, with the intelligence of taking the body for oneself, has forgotten the knowledge of Vishnu, and as an animal is attached to his sex life, let that excessive daksha soon get the head of a goat. May those who followed daksha in his insults and dwelt in the ignorance of their fruitive activities have lost their intelligence and knowledge, time and again end up here in the ocean of material suffering. May those who are so envious with Lord Shiva and whose minds became slow because of the enchanting, flowery words of the Vedas that are so pervaded with the scent of honey, forever be stupefied. Let those Brahmins who have taken to education, austerity and vows for the purpose of acquiring money and satisfying their physical senses, as beggars wander from door to door, eating whatever. When Bhrigu heard the words of this curse against the class of the twice-born, he in response pronounced an insurmountable curse following the Brahminical way of chastising. May anyone who takes a vow to please Lord Shiva and follows such principles become an atheist straying away from the scriptural injunctions. May those who took initiation to worship Shiva and abandoning cleanliness foolishly have their hairs long, wear bones and are covered by ashes, find their destiny in intoxication. Because you, Nandishwara, blaspheme the Vedas and the Brahmins who support the established rules of society, you have sought your refuge in atheism. In the Vedas, which in the past have always been rigidly followed for being the auspicious eternal path for all people, one finds the evidence of Janardana, the Lord as the well-wisher of all. Blaspheming that supreme and pure spirit constituting the eternal path of the truthful souls, you are doomed to end up in atheism, wherein the Lord of matter and death is your deity. Maitreya said, after one thus had spoken about Shiva with the curse of Bhrigu, the Supreme One, somewhat downcast, left the place together with his followers. And so did the fathers of mankind for 1,000 years settle for the sacrifice, O great master, in which the chief of all gods is Hari, the Supreme Personality. After purifying their hearts by taking a ceremonial concluding bath at the place where the Ganges meets the Yamuna, they all left from there to return to their own places.